Thanks. Well, good morning. It's been good to be here already. It's a valuable time to be in the house of the Lord. And I want to read a passage this morning from the book of Lamentations. Testimony from the prophet Jeremiah. But I have to admit that this morning I feel blessed and a wee bit awkward. I feel the Lord inviting me to share a bit of my own testimony and my story in the context of this passage. And I always feel a little vulnerable when I talk about Chad. So we'll try not to make it any more awkward than we have to. But God has been good, is good, and I want to share about His faithfulness today. You've been sitting for a bit. Would you mind standing to read Lamentations chapter 3? We're reading verses 22 through 27. So if you have a Bible or an app and you want to go there with it, it'd be fine. Lamentations chapter 3. Follow along as you read. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. In verse 27, it is good for the man to bear the yoke in his youth. Thank you. You may be seated. I pray that we are able to see the Lord's faithfulness through your lives, the stories that you have, and the stories that I share. Today, maybe a little bit of like story time with Uncle Chad, so I hope it's not too terrible. I look back across the few years that I've lived, and I see God's faithfulness. Jeremiah would have been... Now, the Book of Lamentations doesn't have an author credit. It's generally credited to the prophet Jeremiah. He would have been in Jerusalem, seen the invasion, the destruction, the exile, and reached for something much deeper than his current events to base his faith on. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. God carries us through. My childhood was, I mean, it began here in Sturgis, right? This is not that bad of a place. My blessing of being born into a Christian family and raised by really wonderful people whom you know and love, it's real. As a child, a six-year-old, I told my parents that I wanted to know Jesus, and they prayed with me to become a Christian. In 1985, Twyla Paris came out with a song that some of you who have gray hair would recognize. Come and join the reapers, all the kingdom seekers, laying down your life to find it in the end. Come and share the harvest, help to light the darkness, for the Lord is calling faithful men. So I would have been six or seven. And the impact that song had on me was powerful. I I remember crying as a child that I want to be a part of seeing God's kingdom come in the lives of people around me. That sort of got lost as I became a teenager. I remember telling Pastor Tom that I'm going to make a lot of money. It was part of my goal was to not be poor in any way as I grew. I don't find God's desire for my wealth to be quite the same as what my desire for my wealth was at the time. Our family came to Calvary Chapel when I was about 14. And actually at that point, Calvary Chapel didn't have this building. We were just in the west wing there. And soon after we arrived at Calvary Chapel, we as a church went on a camp out up to Little Eden on Lake Michigan. And it was at that camp out that I met Jenny for the first time. She doesn't remember me, and it's very sad. But she was the only visitor there with her sister, and so it stood out to me. I don't think we fell in love that weekend, but anyway, we were at that camp out together. I don't want to bore you with my story because many of you know my story. Some of the men who walked with me and mentored me are sitting right here, and I'm so grateful for the hours that Tom and Harold have put into me, coaching and teaching me, and the rest of you faithful men that have walked with me. So I don't want to retell the stories that you know, but I realize that not all of us grew up at Calvary Chapel, and some of you I don't know very well. One of my deep values is authenticity. I want to be a church that cares deeply for each other, that asks why Matthew Kime is limping, that knows each other and notices each other. So if authenticity is one of our values, well, it starts here. So I'll tell you about me, some of the unglorious and the fun, as we track God's faithfulness through the life of Chad. As our family went through the teenage, as Craig and I were teenagers here at Calvary Chapel, we learned about a Bible school in Pennsylvania called Sharon Mennonite Bible Institute. And my parents thought that was a wonderful idea. And Chad did not think it was a wonderful idea. They said, "You will probably go to SMBI." And Craig said, "Okay." And Chad said, "No, thanks." And it went on that way for a couple of years. And I realized there really wasn't an answer other than yes and okay. So Chad Graver signed up to go to SMBI. And that is where Chad actually met Jenny. And there was good that came of the time at SMBI. While I was at Sharon Mennonite Bible Institute, I met a few friends. And we all had great dreams of travel and seeing the world and conquering the world. Galen and I had put together plans of backpacking Western Europe the summer after SMBI. We thought we'd save our money what we could through the winter and try to hit a flight to Germany in April or May. And then we'd for sure be home by Christmas. If our money ran out, we'd be home by Thanksgiving, but we were just going to trek Western Europe. I remember sitting with one of the teachers at SMBI, telling him what my plans were, and he didn't seem nearly as impressed with it as Chad did at the time. That spring, Memorial Day weekend, I remember we had a picnic, we hung out with youth group, but I remember quite well sitting in the little blue Ford Ranger that we had and feeling God asking me to give that dream up, to let go of my dream of travel, fun, and just having my own way. And I did. I sat there and I cried on those vinyl seats in the pickup, saying, "Well, Lord, I'll let that go." It was a day later that I got a phone call from John Yoder that some of you know, and some of you don't. John called me and he said, "Chad, I'm going to China this summer. You want to come too?" And I just cried again, because I knew that my dream was to go to Europe, and this was not Europe. But the fact that God noticed my willingness to give up something and handed something else back was amazing. So I talked to my parents, and I talked to the people around me, and I'm sure I quizzed Pastor Tom about whether this was a good idea or not. But John Yoder and I left that summer to spend time with Luke and Amy. And when Luke and Amy walked in this morning, I said, "Well, this is quite amazing. You're in the story. God faithfully brought me through. His mercy was new that Memorial Day weekend. It was something fresh and new for me to sense that God had a plan for me." We spent that summer visiting China, Vietnam, and Thailand. And John and I didn't have a whole lot of our own luggage. We carried mostly canned goods for Luke and Amy over there. It was fine. We got to Thailand and I said, "Don't they have food here?" And Cheryl Dean had told us, "They can't get this food there." So we took it. It was fine. But Carissa still makes fun of me because I spent all summer wearing a reuse, recycle t-shirt that was a little bit too small, but it was what I could buy there, and it was our own story. Anyway, God used that phone call, that intervention in my world, to open my eyes to a lost world in Southeast Asia that needed him. And I've not been the same since the summer of 99. We spent a little time in Beijing, and I remember seeing we're standing on a street corner there by Tiananmen Square. The light changed, and I felt like half the world's population came around that corner all at the same time. It was when bicycles were still a big part of Beijing life. And I remember telling John or Phil that summer, "I won't make a difference for all of these people, but I would be a fool to die without trying to make a difference for at least some." It changed my college major. I was headed to Glen Oaks that fall, right here in Centerville. I had planned on being an accountant to make a lot of money. And I realized that business opportunities were available in China, but the most efficient way to put myself in relation with people was to be an English teacher. And I actually didn't enjoy English all that much. I'm kind of with my son Matthew in wondering why you call cookies and not bakies, because you bake them, and it just, why do you drive on a parkway and park on a driveway? And I have lots of questions about the English language myself. But it was the most efficient way to put Chad Graber in contact with Chinese people. And so I became an English teacher. The dreams of backpacking kind of went away. I found God faithful. And I found that having the Lord as my portion was a good portion. Verse 24 out of that passage says, therefore, this, the Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I hope in Him. It's a good portion. Glen Oaks Community College doesn't offer undergrad in applied linguistics. I had to find another school to finish my degree at, and New York City was another place that Chad would love to go. It became an option. There was a college in Queens, part of the City University system, that offered that degree path. And so when I was 20, I moved out of Indiana and into Flushing, Queens, New York. It was a rich time of my life, and some of you came to visit. It was a privilege to have Tom and Marjorie came. We were talking about that visit just the other day. Tom and Marjorie came to visit us one cold October, November, and Marjorie, you didn't want to take your coat on our trip through Manhattan. So every souvenir stand, we bought more I Love New York paraphernalia. And by the end of that trip, Marjorie had a scarf and a sweatshirt and a hat, and she looked very, very touristy. But Jenny and I lived in New York City for about 4 years. I finished my degree, and it seemed wise to get some practice teaching English before we went overseas to teach. So in the fall of 2022, I began teaching for the New York City Board of Education. I taught high school at a fairly large high school in Queens, in Elmhurst. It was a good time. But I had a really low note that summer. I wanted to share this one. Now when you're in your 20s, I shouldn't say just when you're in your 20s. When you're any age, anything that happens to you feels pretty epic, right? It's a major deal. And I was working for a contractor the summer between college and teaching school that fall, and somewhere about the month of June, I lost my job. I had a lot of growing up to do, but I had spent some time telling him that I didn't think my wages were fair. And the next morning I got to work, and Salvatore said, "What are you doing here?" I said, "I'm just getting ready to go work." "You don't work here anymore. I don't use anybody. Get out of here." And I was fired. I spent the day crying, feeling like a failure. I was a new husband. Jenny and I had just gotten married, and I needed to provide something for a household, and because of my big mouth, I had lost a job, and it was epic. My coworker, Harlan, talked to me a bit later. He said, "Chad, think about what you lost. You lost a bad job for a bad boss for bad pay. You'll probably come out all right." And it was wise. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him. I didn't have a job lined up for that fall yet. I was still looking for a teaching position for that fall. And in that downtime, I was given a job at a really good school. I was so thankful. I wanted to be an English teacher where I had some coworkers, where where I wasn't the only teacher. I had had an interview at another school where I would have been the only ESL teacher, and I wanted to learn. That was the point of being teaching in New York. So anyway, I was given a job at a school where there were 22 ESL teachers. We had 3,500 students at that school, and over half of them were second language speakers. Like, English was their second language. There were a lot of us. I had a lot of coworkers to grow with and learn from, and it was good. Verse 26. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. The Lord came through. You know, the process was all in preparation, right? It was. And Jenny and Chad did move to China. We left New York City and were connected with a little people group called the Qiang people in southwest China. We arrived in China in 2004, and Luke and Amy, Luke was my boss, he was our field director at the time for Global Tribes Outreach. It felt like it had been a short time coming, but a long time coming. We moved into the city of Chengdu, and I need you to know this. I think that sometimes we as people in Michigan think of China as being that desolate place where all things are bad and nothing good happens. But China is actually a really incredible country. It really is. Some amazing developments and amazing people and amazing technology. We moved into a city of 10 million people, and they functioned just fine. But because I had credentials as an English teacher, I was able to take a job really far off the beaten track. Jenny and I took a position as an English professor at a little college in the city of Wenchuan. Wenchuan was not Chengdu. I know that all China just sounds like China, but I want to unpack it just a little bit. We had a city of 10 million people with incredible internet speed, infrastructure. It was there. We did move 4 hours out of town. It was only 60 miles away, but it was 4 hours to get there. It was, the roads were terrible. They had improved some from the time when Luke had been there earlier, but it was still quite far off the beaten track. It was a city of about 10,000 people, which sounds like a lot, but in China it's not much. But it was the county seat of one of the counties where the Qiang people group lived. The preparation I had done in New York had equipped us and allowed us to be in the middle of the people group that God had called us to. And we were there with a little baby named Matthew. I wish that more of you could see the one-year-old Matthew Graber. He was adorable. And he really stood out because he was the only blonde-haired, fair-skinned child within hours and hours of driving. He was doted on pretty heavily by the college students. He was quite the popular little thing. But we were fond of Matthew. And so were the students. He's his only child that was made in China. But we're glad to have him. You know, our plans aren't necessarily the Lord's plans. We don't see the end of it. We don't see how it's all going to work out. As a teacher at the university, I had shared my faith, but I had to be pretty careful. This was communist China. There were reasons that you said only as much as needed to be said about your faith. in some context. And then in our home, the students would come and we would share Jesus. The school year was coming to a close, but on May 12th, 2008, for about a minute and a half, an 8.0 Richter scale earthquake rocked Wenchuan County. It shook. It shook everything we had. Almost shook our faith. I'm from the Midwest. In the Midwest, we have tornadoes and we plan to be safe when the wind comes. I didn't know what to do with an earthquake. We found out later that we should have run out of the building. That would be smart. We lived on first floor, but we just huddled in the corner by a supporting wall so that we wouldn't get blown away. We survived the earthquake just fine. And Matthew did too. But that earthquake in 2008 was something that we sadly had no way of communicating with all of you back here in Michigan that we were fine. I believe that some of you were praying for us then. We got moved out of our apartment. We moved out of the apartment. The building was in rough shape. But we lived on the school's soccer field for about a week. There was just no way of communicating back to North America that we were okay. It was almost a week later that I was finally able to make a phone call to my dad. It was 2 a.m. here. I remember he picked up the phone, and I said, "Dad, this is Chad, and I'm so sorry to call you now. I just wanted to let you know that we finally have a phone, and we're fine." He said, "Oh, you can call me anytime. This is a phone call we've been waiting for." God put us back here in Indiana, Michigan, for about 5 years. I know that when we got on the plane to travel home, we felt like we might be in America for 5 years. And that was the summer of 2008. Oh, sure enough, by October of 2013, we were back overseas. So we lived here for about 5 years. And I got to know many of you at that time. We were here at Calvary Chapel. But in 2013, God took us back to Southeast Asia. We worked with IGO and with Global Tribes Outreach, kind of in combination. 2013 through 14, 15, I taught at a little Bible school in Thailand called IGO, and I'm thrilled because that Bible school has been a positive impact on Alex, and Matthew plans on heading there in the fall. It's fun to see how God works those pieces together. But in 2017, I was asked to be the director of Global Tribes Outreach. And we had a group of short-termers, the kids, the Edge and Ultra teams that came for 6 months at a time. And verse 27, the passage I read first, is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Ladies and gentlemen, I worry that I'm putting you to sleep, and I'm sorry. I try not to labor this out too long. I love to tell stories. I have long been of the persuasion that get her done is the right approach. You just get started now. And I believe that young people need that encouragement. If you're less than 65, you're a young person. If you're over 65, you get to claim something about maturity. But especially for our youth, men and women, it is good for you to bear the yoke when you're young. I loved working with the Edge and Ultra teams for GTO because they were bearing the yoke. They were getting her done. They were generally young people that came to Asia with a desire to grow, to seek God, and to become what He had for them. And I would tell them often, good things don't come easily. This process is painful. But if you're under 65, you know that. And if you're in your 20s, and if you're in your teenage years, you're learning that. That good things come when you try hard. Jenny and I moved from Chiang Mai to Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, in 2017 to work with the Edge and Ultra teams. So yeah, if you're keeping track, we lived in, well, Elkhart County and LaGrange County. That was a big move. And we lived for a while in Queens, New York, and in China, and then in Thailand and Malaysia. The word transition refers to the process or period of changing one state, stage, condition from one, from a or form to another. It encompasses the passage of moving from what was to what is next. We have had several transitions in our life. I don't want to stand here talking about my journey and my transitions as if that's the glory. It's not. I'm here to talk about how God has been faithful through it all. We lived a few places and we got kicked out of Malaysia there with COVID-19, and we came back here to be in Michigan, and it really, I'm sorry. You all know it. We came here with a bad attitude. We felt robbed of our spot in Southeast Asia. We felt sad about losing the connections. I was loving what we were doing. I was the administrator at an international school that was just set to grow. We had signed some paperwork, a lease to a new facility. We were hoping to grow from 50 students to about 500 students, and I was going to be a part of that, and I'm not. The school has grown. We were just working with some of the people from there this past week, and the school is growing without me. It's okay. But God brought us here. And we found that it is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. We are here to serve at Calvary Chapel. Ladies and gentlemen, especially those of you that I don't know as well, or don't know us as well, don't know our stories, I wanted to spend some time today talking about our steps, because God has been faithful through it all. Through the Lord's mercies, we're not consumed, because His compassions don't fail. There's some really good things about raising teenage boys in northern Indiana. We're grateful that our boys get to have jobs and connect hard work with a paycheck. That is something that couldn't have happened in Malaysia. We're grateful for all of you at Calvary Chapel. Our attitudes have gotten a lot better. We really are doing much better. I'm grateful for each of you. I've been a part of Calvary Chapel for a little over 30 years. As a youth, Luke was one of my mentors. He was my small group leader in our youth time. As an adult, I've gotten to know each of you in a deeper way. And I love observing the finger of God in your lives. I got to be a part of some of you coming together and getting married. I got to be a part of seeing you find redemption in the pieces of your story. So I share my story not to be a glory, because there's really not that much special about Chad. But I do find that Chad hasn't made a lot of money. But Chad has had the privilege of seeing God work. I love the life that He's allowed us to live. Young men, bear the yoke. Get it done. Don't shrink back from what God calls you to do. Young women, and yes, I do include anyone under the age of 65. That is my ask today, is that you would embrace authenticity, be honest about who you are, about what God's brought you to be. Be thankful for who He's put in your path. And then step fully into the grace that He's allowed. Thank you for listening to Storytime with Uncle Chad. I appreciate it. Would you stand for closing prayer? Father, You have been the author of our stories. Today, as I share my testimony, I wish for You to come through. That we would not hear about details of Chad and Jenny's story, but that we would see that Your mercies allow us to not be consumed. Your compassions fail not. Our hope is in You. And we thank You for who You are, Jesus. Guide us this week. Help us to walk in Your grace and to share it with those we come in contact with. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.